this week's episode of Auburn Unleashed. I'm your host, Adam Clayton, joined as usual by our now permanent co-host, Jim Patton. Jim, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Adam. How are you doing today?
I'm pretty good. We're in the middle of March Madness.
Yeah, Auburn didn't make it to March Madness this year, and they've had a disappointing season, but they did beat Alabama, so that was good.
We did beat Alabama. Proud of our boys for that. Wish they had gone just a little bit farther in the tournament, but it is what it is.
Yes, that's correct. But I still got some faith in that coach, and I believe they can turn it around. But we'll have to see, because he's going to have to start winning soon.
I agree with you, Jim. What's been new with you?
Well, it's spring break. Got the kids and having a big time this week so far. That's about it. I've got a guest for us this week that I believe people are going to really enjoy. I would say he's the most among the players, young and old.
Well, now this doesn't look like a guy sitting in the room with us.
No, that's my daughter. She's watching things for a little while with us, but she had a tree fell on her home, so she's already had an interest in spring break.
We might have to get her on for our farewell War Eagle.
Ah, that sounds good.
Jim, who do you have for us today?
I have a fellow by the name of Rusty Dean, who was a year or so down there a year or so before I was with Shug, played on some very great teams, played on the Amazons, but Rusty's probably for both young players and older players and players older than he is, he's probably among the players, I would say, really one of the most popular players we had. He's done a lot for Auburn and a lot for the Letterman since leaving, and he was an All SEC defensive end. I think you were. How are you doing, Rusty?
I'm doing good. I'm enjoying this stuff. Go ahead, keep going.
weren't you a quarterback in high school? Is that right?
I was from Thomaston, Georgia. Yeah.
Yeah, and you came to Auburn weighing how much?
I was about 200 when I got to Auburn, and then after Coach Jordan lost his mind and moved me to defensive end, I gained up to about 245.
Well, you were a great player, but you've really done a lot since being out of Auburn. I know that wasn't soon after you graduated that we started the Letterman Club, which I really believe this is the best Letterman Club in the nation. And tell us about the Auburn Letterman Club getting started, because we didn't even have a Letterman Club till I think you were very instrumental in getting that started. If you could talk about that for us.
Okay. Yeah, we had, after 74, 75, we were throwing an idea around to start a club. And like you said, we have developed into one of the best clubs in the country right now. And a lot of schools copy us, and Vince Dewey, you know, is one of our lettermen, and so we would send him our information. He would go to the Georgia folks and say, do it like this. And so they copied ours pretty much to the T. But we started the club in 82, and Coach Dye came to me, and at the time I didn't know it, but one of my teammates, Eddie Welch, was killed in a car wreck, and his parents' family wanted to donate a sum of money to the university in Eddie's name. And Coach Dye came to me. He said, I want you to start the Letterman Club. I want you to put this money in it for scholarships, and let's get this thing rolling. So that's how it started, the death of one of my dear friends and teammates. And his family donated enough money for us to endow our first scholarship, and we called it the Eddie Welch Memorial Fund. And we have over about $1.2 million now in our scholarship money. The scholarships go to the son and daughter of a former player. And we have one per year that we give to a grand to a grandchild. So we're very proud of that fact. We've worked hard to do it. We've had multiple fundraising efforts to put $10-$15 in at a time, and we've raised it up to that, and we're proud of it. And it takes $25,000 to endow a scholarship, and we have five, I think, endowed now.
So is that five a year we give out? Is that how it works, or how does that work?
No, to keep it simple, we grouped all of our scholarships under one name for Auburn University, and then we separated out and call them the Pat Dye Scholarship, Ralph Shubjerdon Scholarship, the Eddie Welch Scholarship, and so forth. And so we designate who it goes to, but we'll give, I think we give like 34 last year, 34 scholarships.
That's unbelievable.
And it's based on need and academic standing, but mostly on need.
Well, I'm just proud of that club, and we have a lot of fun in that club, and we do a lot of good things. What are some of the highlights of some of the other things that's gone on with the club, Rusty? Because I know you were like the executive secretary for years, and you've had numerous numerous titles with it, but you've definitely been the backbone of it. And I want to thank you on behalf of all the former players for helping make it what it is. But give us some of the highlights you think of the club.
Well, thank you, and it has been fun. I've been involved with it now about 35 years, so it has its up and downs, but basically it's keeping in touch with everybody and keeping people informed about what's happening around Auburn. And me living in Auburn is the big advantage of it. And it'd be hard for Jim Patton to do it on the honor, you know?
Yes. We got enough alumni there in. We got enough alumni in on the honor. We could make a good start, though.
There you go. But the athletic department has been extremely kind to us. Every benefit we have is a result from what they gave us. It started out with the money from Eddie Welch, his family that Coach Dyke gave us to put in our scholarship. And then Coach Dyke went to Bill Beckwith at the time and said, I want the letterman to sit in one location. You get him a spot. And that like killed Bill Beckwith. He didn't want to give up a seat anywhere in that stadium. But we got 30-yard line seating and then 50-yard line seating in the upper deck. But members have to pay for the tickets, of course, and then go through the normal channel. But we got reserved area that we can sit in. And then in 86, 87, I believe it was, when we renovated the east side of the Jordan-Hare, Coach Dye gave us a 4,000-square-foot area for us to finish off and use it as our lounge for our former lettermen. So lettermen have the benefit of going to the stadium. You got to have a ticket. You got to get in the stadium. But then you go up to one level and on the east side, and we have a lounge that we serve our members short order stuff, and they can come in, get out of the heat, and cool down a little bit, or get out of the rain, whichever, and just sit down and enjoy themselves. During and after and before, during and after games. So that's a huge benefit. And so then, Hyman Wall was our athletic director at the time. And, of course, he was under Coach Dye, I think Hyman was assistant, and Coach Dye was the athletic director. And Hyman gave us a parking area. So we got a place to go in the stadium. We got place to sit in the stadium, and then he gave us a place to park in the stadium. So the athletic department has been extremely, extremely supportive of our Letterman Club, and Coach Dye putting me in charge of it back when I was an employee of Auburn University and under him, he said, I want you in charge so I can put my thing on you. And so if it got out of hand, he had a quick remedy for it, and it was me. So I made sure we did what was right. But anyhow, we were established to support Auburn Athletic Department. That's what we're going to do.
Rusty,
and they have been very supportive of us.
Rusty, it sounds like you have an excellent club there, and it must be open to just anybody that wants to be a member. Y'all let Jim Patton in, and so I guess you just take anybody.
Well,
home.
We feel sorry for a few of them.
Now, is this open to just Letterman on the football team, or is this all sports?
No, just football Letterman. We have, back in the day Jim and I played, you had to play a certain amount of minutes during a game to earn a letter. And I can't tell you how many guys went through 4 years and never lettered because they didn't play enough minutes. And it's changed nowadays. It's more about how much you practice and how long you're out there and that sort of thing. Not about minutes played, but which is good. But so we started, we have Letterman classification, then we have an associate classification, and the associate is for those who stayed during the eligibility but never lettered. And that's been a great classification to get some guys well-deserving in our club that otherwise wouldn't be. And then we have an honorary classification, and we've put folks like Roy B. Sewell in for that.
Rusty, we got A-Day coming up, and the Letterman Club's always been pretty active with A-Day, and that's a big time for the Letterman Club. How do you see A-Day turning out this year?
Well, with Coach Malzahn coming and that West Coast offense, I believe we're going to have a full house, and it's going to be fun to watch it. And I just want us to get us a Johnny football so we can compete better. But anyhow, we have a Letterman golf tournament on Friday before A-Day. We have our annual members meeting of the club on A-Day. And then we have an athletic department gives us a barbecue, and we have barbecue and all prior to the game, and then go to the game and have autograph sessions after the game. So, yeah, A-Day is a big weekend.
Rusty, you mentioned you were an employee at Auburn. I know at one time you were what we used to call the dorm mother. Explain a little bit about
right.
The dorm mother is what we called it. Explain a little bit about that position when you had it.
All right. I came back to Auburn in 1980 under Doug Barfield, and came back to be his administrative assistant, and he was fired 3 months later, and then Pat Dye came in, and Pat Dye was the coach at Alabama and recruited me when I was in high school, so he knew me, and it was a mutual thing there, but he said they didn't really want me anyway when they recruited me, so that's why I went to Auburn. The dorm manager, Brownie Flanoy at the time, was there in the dorm, and I stayed in the dorm and sort of helped him for a while after Coach Dye got in, and then he retired, and I took over the dorm, and then my wife and I ran the dorm for 10, 11 years, and that was quite interesting. We were talking the other day. We're probably one of the few people who know Pat Sullivan, having played with him, Bo Jackson, who was in the dorm, and now Cam Newton, who rents from it. My wife's one of her condos, so we're personal friends with all three of them. She's got all three of them's autographed, by the way, if you want to buy it, Jim.
Well, so you're friends with Bo Jackson, and friends with Cam Newton, and friends with Pat Sullivan, and friends with me. My goodness.
Yeah.
You
can't get no better.
You covered it all, Rusty. That's pretty good.
Okay.
But I imagine there's some stories if people bump into you and get to know you that we probably don't need to do on the radio about when you're actually – the dorm mother is a good name for it because you had to do bed checks and make sure people didn't get in trouble. And football players, even people don't know that. They even get into fights with each other sometimes, I imagine, around the dorm.
Yeah, and they skip out after curfew too.
Well, I wouldn't know anything about that. What is a dorm?
Yeah, right.
I'm sure some of our I would like to know myself, so I'm sure some of our listeners would. What is the situation with dorms now, the rules? Do they even have a dorm? How does it work nowadays?
Well, you know, Sewell Hall was our dorm, and at the time it housed all football, most of baseball, and some track and wrestling and basketball. But now the NCAA has ruled dorms aren't allowed anymore, and you can't have more than 49% of your athletes in any one location. So Sewell Hall was mostly a residence for students until it was torn down this year, and they're building a new high-rise dorm back in there. Well, the situation there now is that there's many, many more rooms and beds in there that we could put all the freshmen and your academic problem athletes in the dorm now and still be less than 49%. So it's really a hard communicating with the athletes when they're scattered all over campus, and you have to call meetings. You know how they call meetings in 10 minutes sometimes. You can't do it these days without giving them plenty of notice. But that's one of the drawbacks of it, is trying to communicate with the guys. Yeah. But now everybody's got cell phones and texts and tweeters and tweeties and whatever else.
Well, I think that's a mistake by the NCAA, because that was some of the best times. And plus the eating and food, how they do that now. Because when we were down there, that was the main recruiting tool in Auburn. There wasn't much else. But the food at Sewell Hall was just unbelievable. How do they handle
it? Ann Graves was our dietitian for 30 years. We were just talking about how we're going to make her an honorary member this year.
Well, that's great. How do they feed the players now, the scholarship players? Is it just with...
Right now, until they put them back in this new dorm they're building, until we have some of them in that location, they just get a monthly check to cover their room and board. And they fend for themselves. And I think they can feed them once a week or something like that in one location. So, and that takes care of traveling on with games and that sort of thing, and home games.
Well, I'm going to kind of end this on a little lighter note. Do you remember the time you and Mike Gates and Tom Ball and I went to your, I believe it was your girlfriend, who's now your wife's, hometown, and had a little fishing venture? Do you remember that trip?
Think about it all the time. One of the best trips we've had in a while.
I remember, and this was when we were playing, but I remember you were kind of a dirty fighter, because I remember you and Mike Gates had kind of got a little, y'all were best friends, and kind of got a little angry at each other in the boat. I remember Mike saying to you he was going to drive the boat over there to that far bank and whoop your butt. And I remember you telling him what's wrong with the near bank. And then, but I remember you fighting a little dirty when he headed to the near bank. Do you want to tell these listeners what you did?
I do. Prior to that, though, my wife now came down and she said, "My dad has the mayor of Thomaston with him, and he wants to come see you guys. So, for God's sakes, act right." And so Gates and I had been at odds a little bit about fishing. I would try to get the best fishing spot, and he would slap my rod. And so we did. We were about to tangle, and I look up, and here comes this car. And I said, "Guys, if this is Sally's daddy, he's going to have the mayor of Thomaston, Georgia, in that car with him. So, for God's sakes, don't act up." Well, the first thing Mike Gates does is jump up and pulls his pants down to his knees and moons the mayor of Thomaston. I take the boat paddle and slap it across his butt, and he goes in the water.
Well, I remember
that. And we leave him and make it.
You forgot part of that, Rusty, because you remember there was a wasp nest on the stump? Do you remember that?
Yeah. The one he tried to grab onto as he went under.
I think you hit the wasp nest where the paddles really went.
But, right.
And then you dove in the water, and the wasp couldn't sting you, and we had to save Gates. But those were some fun times. They sure were.
And yeah, the Mayor Thompson still talks about it.
Well, Tom Ball was a character in himself. He was the best golfer tee to green I ever played with, the worst putter. And he was 6'9", 350 pounds, something about like that. He wasn't a really great football player, but he was a heck of an athlete. But he was one character, too, that a lot of people know, but a lot of our listeners probably had never known. But he was legendary with the former players, too. Would you agree with that?
That he was. He was a huge human being and a huge heart in a man, too.
Yeah. Yeah, his name was Tom Ball, and we called him T-Barge because he was so big. Well, Rusty, thank you. And I want to thank you again for the Auburn community and particularly the Auburn players, because we really have something in that Letterman Club that we can be proud of, and it is fun, and Coach Dye was instrumental, but nobody was as instrumental as you or has done as much to get it where it is and to keep it going. And to, we do a lot for charities and everything, and I just want to thank you. It's just, I can't thank you enough, and appreciate you being on our show, too.
Well, thanks, Jim. I do appreciate your kind words, and we'll take it up on the golf course next time.
All right, Rusty. Thank you very much.
Bye. Thank you, Rusty.
Okay.
Hey, Rusty, yes, you don't have to hang up. Our Letterman Club is something that the fans can be proud of, too, because we do a lot, as said, for charities, and it's pretty famous in the Letterman Club circles. So, and he's a very, very dear friend of mine and has been, and I appreciated the opportunity to get to talk to him again.
Now, you said he was a couple of years ahead of you?
Yeah, he was. You know, we had Bill Newton on that blocked the punts. He was in Bill Newton's year. I believe Rusty was probably a senior when I was a freshman, probably.
Okay. I hope we can have him back on again soon. Jim, you know, it's springtime, and as we saw yesterday, weather's starting to get a little dicey out there. Just want to remind everyone, check out our sister show, Weather Brains. You can join them over there and catch up on what's going on in the weather and maybe learn something. I learn something every time I listen to it. Also, check out Steve Sample's show, Bama Talk Show, and you can catch all the shows on bigbrainsmedia.com. Jim, you want to bring your other special guest over?
Yeah, this is my 10-year-old daughter, Chaney Patton, and Chaney's got a couple of words to say to everybody out there.
War Eagle.
War Eagle.
All right.
So is this spring break?
This is spring break.
She got to come to her dad's law office.
She did, and she is bored out of her gourd.
Maybe he'll take you somewhere fun.
Well, Adam, I enjoyed it, and we'll talk at you next time.
All right. War Eagle, everyone.